Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
Saturdays with Jenny.
With Jenny every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m.
on Kaya FM 95.9.
So let me tell you what we're talking about. I do have a frog in my throat. But let's tell you what we're chatting about now. We're going to be speaking to a very old friend of mine, Mike Nicol. And he has been a journalist for years, but almost more important than that, he's been a fantastic writer with some amazing books. And one of his most amazing books, I don't think you can even buy anymore, and it's a story of Drum Magazine. Let's go to Mike Nicol. So, Mike, lovely to have you online.
Yes, I can assure you that the view out my window is not peaceful and still. We have a gusty northwest at 80 k's an hour. The sea seems to be whipped back to the Antarctic, and it's really quite horrible.
Well, listen, I've been speaking to friends in Cape Town. They say it's hideous. Yeah. And I keep telling them to come up here because it's absolutely fantastic. But listen, enough with the weather. You're warm, and we're talking writing. And your writing courses have been massively successful. Tell us about this online writing course.
All right. A lot of people want to write, and we all can write, but we often lack the tools to do that and to make it a successful job. But and we can't all afford to go to university to learn these things or to do MA writing courses. So online teaching has become an option, and I have found it to be a perfect way for me. I mean, I find it even better than the classroom situation, and I did some lectures at UCT's master's, creative writing master's courses. So this, to me, is just far more exciting, and you can have a chat on a forum, in a virtual forum, that is as good as anything that goes down in an ordinary classroom. So I thought, here's what I want to do. I really enjoy this kind of work. So I thought I would get a platform built where I could continue doing these creative writing courses, because the ones that I had been doing, the organization closed them down. So all I've done is redesigned the course completely and utterly, rewritten all the notes, and have launched this thing, or let me put it, will be launching this on Monday with the first course.
Mike, some of your other courses have brought incredible success to the writers.
Yes, I've been very, very lucky. And I mean, what happened was that with the creative writing course, I realized that there was a need beyond the short course. So the short course gives you all the tools to be able to write. It teaches you all the devices that you need to be able to write a novel. Then I realized that what people wanted was they wanted supervision over a much longer period. So together with a colleague, I started a thing called the Writer's Masterclass. And after that Writer's Masterclass has come, well, my favorite writer, Kenita Loxton. She's now four novels down, all published by Quella. She's busy writing her fourth on this current masterclass. And I think out of the eight classes that we have run over 8 years, I think she's been there for seven of them. And we get a group of writers. Jenny Friedman is another, with her memoir of growing up in the Free State. She's done two books. She's just finished her third with us. We've had a whole lot of other writers who've produced first books. Aisha Kasim is coming up from Quella later this year with Suitcase of Memory, the novel, and she's going to be a major force in literary South Africa in the coming years. So I've just had this wonderful experience with a marvelous bunch of writers, and they cohere as a group, and they give one another encouragement, and it's just so nice to see and to be part of that and to watch it happening.
Because if you're outside this writing world, there is so much confusion. People literally don't know what to do. I mean, I get the most charming letters from Afropolitans, and they want to submit handwritten notes and things like that. So to get guidance like this, just how the world works, never mind your writing skills, is incredibly important.
It is, and I've come to realize that the publishing world is very confusing and very confusing for new writers entering into it. I fortunately went through it many, many years ago now. And I must have wandered through it in a sort of bewilderment, and things just happened, and I slowly got to understand what was happening. Now when I see it happening to new writers, and they don't understand what's going on, they don't understand why things are done in the way they're done. So at least when they've got a writer's group, like the masterclass, they can come back to me and say, you know, what is happening now? I've just been given this contract, and they want this, that, and the other thing, and should I sign it the way it is? And there's nobody to advise them. So we've been able to help on that score as well. And I think that just makes life a little easier for writers going out into this really strange world, because suddenly you've got journalists who want to interview you and talk to you, and what do you say to them, and how do you say it, and all the rest of it. So it can be a really confusing place. And this is what we try to make less confusing, more helpful, and just a friendlier environment for people.
Mike, let's talk a little bit about what you're offering on this course. And we're starting, there are different modules, aren't there?
Yeah, there's a creative writing course. In other words, so if you're wanting to write fiction or long fiction, a novel or short story, I've called that one writing fiction, very obviously, it says it all. There are 10 modules in that particular course, and what that deals with is all the essentials that you'd need to know. So what genre do you want to write in? If you even know what genre you want to write in, or if you're suddenly discovering what does this word mean in the first place, you see, then I've got to come to an understanding of that too. Then what is it to create a character? How do you create a character? Can you base a character on a real person? Well, a big no-no there, particularly in fiction, as you could end up in the courts. And then how do you write dialogue? Because we all speak to one another, but when you see dialogue on a page, it's not anything like the way we talk. We talk in sentences that have got lots of ums and ahs and I know and you do and laugh and all the rest of it. And you can't do that on the page. It's a stylized way of talking. So you need to know how to do that. Then you need to know what is a story, what is a plot, why are the two different, how do I use the plot to shape the story. These are all the kinds of things that I wanted to do in this particular course. And then, of course, the big thing is the reason we write novels, they're about conflict. They're about people wanting to do something bad to another lot of people, or one person wanting to do something bad to another person. Conflict is at the center of the novel. It's at the center of all the news that we read, whether it's conflict between people, conflict between us and, at the moment, a virus. It could be a natural phenomenon that's happening, a storm, and that's creating conflict. But what makes stories interesting is the conflict in them. So one's got to show people how to use that conflict and how that conflict can then turn what the story that you're writing into a page turner and to a bestseller. But these are the topics that the 10 modules get to grips with. There's an assignment each week tailored to that particular topic. There's a forum where we discuss the various issues around the topic. There's extra videos for people to watch, extra reading for them to access. So they get a bigger picture, if possible, of the particular device that they need to help them write their novel.
So, I mean, with Corita Loxton, her idea was so filled with immediate conflict. So you've got a group of women, and they all come from radically different backgrounds, but they all like each other, but they have internal conflicts, and then there is the conflict of their own lives. And it's a surefire winner.
It is, and she understood that instinctively. There's some things that one can't teach. You can tell people that that conflict is a big issue in a novel. Kenita understood that immediately. She could, and she had a conflict, and she knew how to get into it. She's also, as it happens, an incredibly fluent writer, so it's not a problem for her. She has a way of telling a story that is just her unique way of doing it. And even though she writes a pretty dull paragraph, it's worth reading. But Kenita's, you know, she's one of those special cases, and I think they don't come along all that often. But they're out there, and they're out there waiting for somebody to say, you know, do it this way. And I mean, Kenita was a case in point. She trained as a lawyer. She stopped doing any legal practice. And she was at a dinner party one night, and somebody said to her, Claire, in fact, my colleague on the master class, said to her, you know, why don't you go and join Mike Nichols' class if you're interested in writing and just see what happened? She said, had she not done that, had she not been given that advice at that dinner, she would not have taken her writing any further. And yet, you know, 2 years, 3 years later, she was published, and published in Germany with the same book. 4 years later, she had two books on the table. You know, 6 years later, she's got three, and I'm sure that next year she will have another.
No, she's incredibly talented. Mike, in South Africa, as we all know, it's really difficult to sell fiction, and fiction is basically a woman's game. And apparently the first female novel came out in about 1770 or thereabouts. But in South Africa, as in many other countries, it is the memoir, it is the non-fiction, it is the reality that have got the huge sales. You do talk about memoirs, don't you?
Yes, I have another course, which is called Writing Reality, and the first of those courses starts on the 3rd of August, and that is about writing what, in the long technical term, is called non-fiction narratives, non-fiction stories, because what those stories do, they're about the real world, they're about the real lives that we've had, but they use the techniques of the novel. So they use dialogue much the same way as a novelist would use dialogue in a novel. They use dialogue in the memoir. They also fashion the story so that, yes, it's what happened, but the way you tell it is not exactly the way it happened. So it's a version of what happened. And I think getting that point across is probably the most important one, because people want to tell the story the way it happened, and that can actually be quite boring. So if you take out bits and pieces and you loop from one event to the next, you haven't changed what really happened in the world, but you're telling it differently. And it is that ability to tell the story differently that makes the great memoirs, as opposed to the ones which you just want to leave for your family in the future. And there are a lot of people who don't want to get published, but they do want to leave a written legacy. And I've had many, many people on the course who've come on the non-fiction course and then gone on to the masterclass just so that they can leave a family history. They're not really interested in anything beyond that. And they've all managed to then make their family histories really fascinating, because they've taken into account the greater circumstances in which their lives took place. And that, to me, it's just so rewarding when you see that happening. And yes, you're right. And there are a lot of women doing it right now, and they're doing it incredibly successfully.
And Mike, when I look at your books, the one that stands out for me, of course, is A Good Looking Corpse. Did you go into that blindfolded, or did you know exactly what you were going to do? A history of Time magazine.
It came out of the blue. What happened was, I mean, I was just incredibly lucky. Second World War that approached me. I was still working on leadership. We're talking now the middle of the 1980s. They approached me when my first novel had achieved a publication and said, would I do a history of Drum magazine? I knew Drum magazine, yes, but I didn't know the Drum magazine they were talking about, and that was the Drum magazine of the 1950s, which had disappeared. It was gone. The people who had worked on it had been banished, had died, they'd left the country, they were in exile. It was written off of our history. It was written out of our history. And at about the same time as I got that job or that commission, Jürgen Schadeberg, who'd been a major photographer on the Drum of the 1950s, pitched up in the leadership offices with all his photographs from that period. And here was I. I was born in the 1950s, but I knew nothing about this. Apartheid had been incredibly successful. It had cut that out of our history, and nobody knew anything about it unless you really went and started digging. And suddenly I had this chance to uncover a history which had been banished. And it was this amazing history about these extraordinary individuals living these extraordinary lives at a time of prohibition when you couldn't buy booze. Yet, of course, the cops were supplying it in great quantities. We're hearing a story similar today, maybe. It was these lives that were being hemmed in by the ever-encroaching apartheid separation laws. And suddenly, this started opening up before my eyes. And I started doing the interviews. I had no idea how I was going to write this book, in what way it was going to happen at all. I remember going to London to see John Machikiza's mother. John Machikiza had, sorry, not John Machikiza, that's the son. Todd Machikiza had been
Todd
a major
influence. Yes. Mike, I'm going to stop you there. We're going to take a short break. You can tell the story after the break. So if you've just tuned in to Kaya FM, Saturdays with Jenny, I'm chatting to Mike Nicol, and he's giving away this fiction course that we've been speaking about. It's worth 10,200 rand. And one of you guys who is a wannabe writer, or maybe a writer wanting to improve their skills, is going to win it. And we'll show you how and tell you how after this.
It's a good day to have a good day. Good day.
Saturdays with Jenny, every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m.
And we're talking books, which I can talk about for the next 10 hours. But we're also talking to Mike Nicol, who has, I think, written 17 books. And he also writes crime fiction, which, of course, is a book. And he runs these brilliant courses. And one of you is going to win his course. And we're going to tell you how. But, Mike, just go back to A Good-Looking Corpse briefly before. I've got a whole lot of questions that people are going to have to answer. But just go back to that meeting with Todd Machikiza's mother in London when you were putting together that book, A Good-Looking Corpse.
All right. The year is 1989. The freedom of organizations have not been unbanned yet. Nobody's been released. It seems like apartheid's going to go on forever. I flew off to London to do some of the interviews for the drama book. One of the people I wanted to see was Esme Machikiza, the wife of Todd Machikiza. Somehow I got a phone number and I phoned her. She immediately, of course, suspected that I was a security branch cop. So she needed to check me out first. So she made me meet her in a cafe in it was a very concrete building. It was kind of almost Soviet in its concreteness. And we had coffee, and she must have decided that I was okay and she could talk to me. And so I then met her at her flat some couple of days later, and we had this extraordinary interview where she told me about Todd Machikiza and his time on drum and all the rest of it. One of the interviews after that was with Trevor Huddleston, who had been one of the priests in Sophia Town during the 1950s. And I went and I met with him, and I had an interview with him too. And a couple of days later, I caught the flight back to South Africa. As I was getting to my seat inside the plane, a man came past me, moving to a seat further down the plane, and he said to me, "I know you saw Trevor Huddleston 2 days ago." And my heart leapt into my throat, and I thought, my God, the security police are watching where I've been in London. Of course, it was nothing like that. It was nothing like this at all.
These are wonderful stories, and I know lots of you are going to be saying, where can I buy A Good-Looking Corpse? And the answer is you're going to have to look in second-hand bookstores, and it's on Amazon, isn't it?
Yes, I redid the whole book. I retyped the entire book and put it on Amazon, so it is available as an e-book, yes.
Okay. All right, Mike, these are the questions we are asking Afropolitans to answer in order to win the prize of that fiction course with you. So, guys, there are three questions, and I will repeat them. And you do need to go online to answer them. So the first question is this. Dog eats dog is one of the Sowetan author's early books. It was a huge bestseller. What is his name? The second question. School teacher Alan Payton wrote a book that still tears your heart. What was his famous novel called? And the third question is one of Angela McCullough's most famous characters was a blessee who lived and loved the high life in Santon, and she starred in a wonderful book which was published only last year, I think, The Blessed Girl. So what was the name of The Blessed Girl? So if you can answer, I will repeat the questions, but if you can answer all three of those, you're going to post the answers to Kaya FM. In fact, you're going online, and you're going to go to Twitter at Kaya FM Talk, hashtag Jenny. Okay, so those are the questions. Don't worry if you haven't got all of them. I will repeat them. And Mike will keep you in the picture, and thank you for your generosity.
Thank you. It's very kind of you, and thank you for talking to me this morning.
Many, many thanks. So that was Mike Nicol, and I will repeat all of those questions for you. The course is worth 10,200 rand, and you will have a brilliant teacher, I promise you.
It's a good day to have a good day. Good day.
Saturdays with Jenny, every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m.
Rewinding. Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.